be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to God.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. I imagine every one of us has heard the expression, talk is cheap. And it makes a lot of sense, right? We are surrounded by words, day in and day out, blah, 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 and most of them just don't seem to mean anything very much. You turn on the TV at any time of the day or night, and you're bombarded with words, and mostly they're just trying to sell you something. If you answer the phone, half the time it's a computer-generated voice, not even a real person talking. You log into your computer and you check your emails or your Facebook or your Twitter. And if you don't have time for those, you probably have a smartphone in your pocket that makes all those words available to you no matter where you are. And so it is very easy to begin to believe that even just one meaningful action is worth 1,000 or 1,000,000 or 1,000,000,000 empty words. And yet, when Jesus asked the 12 if they were going to abandon him, along with so many of the disciples that were turning away from him, this was Peter's answer. He said, "Lord, to whom can we go? You are the one who has the words of eternal life." Now, of all people, Peter and the other apostles, the 12, had seen Jesus in action. They saw him heal the sick and the lame and the blind. They saw him multiply loaves and fishes to feed the multitudes. They saw him cast out demons. They saw him walk on water. They saw him raise the dead. But when Peter was considering that possibility of walking away from Jesus, and we know that Peter was a man of action, if anybody ever was, it was Jesus' words that he could not turn away from. No one else has the words of eternal life. Peter knew that. And he knew that Jesus did. So clearly, there's all the difference in the world between what Peter was talking about, the words of Christ that were worth living and dying for, and that everlasting twaddle that's so much a part of our modern experience. It's so different that I think it's hard for us to grasp maybe exactly what Peter was talking about. So what I'd like to do today is take that phrase of Peter's, "You have the words of eternal life," and kind of dig into it a little. Think about what it means. Think about what it doesn't mean and what it means to us specifically. So right from the start, it's important to translate the word eternal accurately, because when we hear the word eternal, our English word, we tend to just think of time stretching on endlessly. Eternal life just might remind us of a Twilight Zone episode where this creepy old rich guy discovers a way to keep himself alive endlessly. And we know that ends badly, if you've seen the episode. But the Greek word isn't really talking about time. It's talking about quality of life. It means enduring life. It means fullness of life. So when Peter speaks of the words of eternal life, he doesn't just mean words that are some kind of magic formula for cheating death, so much as words that are source of abundant life, now and forever. And Peter knew that only Jesus spoke those kind of words. There was literally nobody else they could turn to who spoke like Jesus. But more than that, he knew there was no turning away from those words once he had heard Jesus and put his faith in him, the one-way street. He knew that turning his back on Jesus would be turning his back on life itself. Tragically, even Judas discovered that himself when he chose to turn his back on Jesus, and we know that he wasn't able to live with that choice. Jesus and his words are so inseparable that John, when he began his gospel about Jesus, called Jesus the Word. In the beginning was the Word, John wrote, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. In the beginning of all things, when God created, he created with words. Let there be light, God said, and there was. God's words had power to bring something into being out of absolutely nothing. And that creative word that existed from before all time, that was Jesus. For us, plain old human beings that we are, so often our words and our actions are pretty loosely connected. Sometimes they're even totally opposite from each other because our words are false. People say one thing and then do another. We know that. We do it ourselves. But for Jesus, his words and his actions are always one. So the words of eternal life that Peter was talking about are one with everything that Jesus did, with everything that he is. There's no division, there's no conflict, there's no dissonance between the words of Jesus Christ and what he does and is. And that's why we can't possess Jesus' words without walking in his footsteps. We can never separate his words from his actions. We could memorize the entire Bible if we were really good at memorizing. We could stand on the street corner and we could yell the words of Jesus at people from morning to night. There are people who do things like that. But unless we're following Jesus in our living, in our daily actions, as well as in our words, those words have no life at all. Jesus said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a man who built his house on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell like it's falling right now, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Having the words of eternal life is not just about knowing the right words. That's important to know. In fact, people have often used the words of the Bible, the words of God, to do all kinds of harm. Slaveholders in the early days of our country used the Bible to prove that it was perfectly fine for them to treat their brother or sister like a piece of property, or worse. Christians through the centuries, right up to this present, today hand-picked verses to justify their hateful actions. They pick verses to use as a weapon against the people they hate, the people they distrust, the people they fear, even against their fellow Christians. The followers of Jesus have literally murdered one another, pretending it was in defense of Jesus' words. In the Reformation, Protestants killed Catholics, Catholics killed Protestants, everybody killed Anabaptists. Today, pro-life and pro-choice Christians condemn each other with God's word. Conservative and LGBT Christians condemn each other with God's word. Republican, Democratic Christians condemn each other with God's word. But Bible verses, in and of themselves, taken out of context, divorced from the life and work and spirit of Christ, have nothing at all to do with the words of eternal life. They are much more likely to kill than to give life. And today, just like Peter, when we're living in a time where so many people are turning away from following or even listening to Jesus. And often people are not just turning away because they're a wicked and perverse generation. All too often people are turning away from Jesus because the church is failing to speak Jesus' words of eternal life in its actions as well as its words. Everybody's sinful. Christians are sinful. Non-Christians are sinful. We will never be perfect. But when Christians proclaim a gospel of love and then treat their fellow human beings with contempt, when Christian leaders abuse their power, hurting those who are most vulnerable, when Christians look down on people who are different from them, people of different races, different gender identities, different religious beliefs, when churches amass great wealth and fail to help the poor, when Christians only care for their own safety and prosperity when their brothers and sisters are hungry or poor or homeless or in danger, then we, the church, have failed to speak the words of life. Then our words are bringing pain instead of healing. Then we have taken Jesus' words of eternal life and made them into empty, lifeless babble. So to follow Jesus means to follow him both in what we say and in what we do, inseparably. It matters much less that we're able to rattle off chapter and verse, and much more that we live out his words of forgiveness and mercy and compassion and kindness. It matters more that we consider others as better than ourselves, that like our Lord, we seek to serve rather than to be served. But on the other hand, our lives are shaped by all the words that we take in, all the words we read, all the words that we listen to. If we allow our minds and our hearts and our mouths to be filled with the words of Christ instead of the jingle from the car insurance company, we will certainly find our lives and our actions beginning to change. We'll find that we're beginning, little by little, to be more like him. And even though following Jesus will always mean sacrifice and suffering and giving up our rights, surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, we'll find that we become more fully alive. Because Peter was right, abundance of life is found in no one else. To whom shall we go? Only Jesus has the words of eternal life. Amen.